Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In the news are topics that we have covered thoroughly here on the air. Of course, there are the hurricanes, earthquakes, the racism within the U.S. and all the racial tension, the upcoming war with North Korea. We've discussed the just war. We talk about the events in the news, current events, the way Jesus did in the New Testament, in the Gospels. We talk about them, of course, to share in the suffering and to offer help, hope, and compassion to those who are caught up in the horrors of the news headlines, but then also to understand. It's to understand why is the world the way it is? Where did we come from? Who are we? And where are we headed? And so we do that in the context of a Christian worldview. And so far, we've done a thorough job of discussing hurricanes, of throwing off the superstitious view that God aims the hurricanes at particular peoples in order to judge them, to punish them. And we've also thrown off the superstitious view that the most common things in nature, things like earthquakes and an eclipse, the blood moons of last year, that these are somehow telling us that the end is near. Maybe global warming is telling us that the end is near. No, global warming is a false fear that we have exposed fully on our website, kgov.com/warming, or kgov.com/global warming. Also, the likely upcoming war with North Korea, we have covered that not only just earlier this summer, prepare for war with North Korea, but over the years, over the decades that we've been on the air, explaining God's principles of governance and God's criminal justice system, including the principles of a just war and the fact that North Korea has enslaved 25 million people, denying them of their basic human rights, basic liberty, that alone justifies destroying the North Korean government. And in the process, a lot of innocent people will be killed also, it's true. But that alone justifies attacking North Korea. And in addition to that, there is his reckless behavior with nuclear weapons and his constant threat to annihilate his neighbors. So because we've covered the fundamentals of these issues, and that material all appears on our website at kgov.com, people could use the search bar, of course, to find specific stories or topics. And we have a page that is an index to our entire website, in fact, to a quarter century of ministry outreach, and it's our About page. kgov.com/about not only provides a bio, you know, who am I, Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, what is my background, what was my science background and my career with McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company, and then with Microsoft up in Seattle, in Redmond, Washington, and then writing for PC Week as a senior technical analyst, and so now as a host of Real Science Radio. So the About page lays that out, of course, but then it provides an index into the work that we've done by topic and by accomplishment and by our top 12 contributions by our own estimation, the teaching on the nature of God and the nature of time and the age of the earth and the initial calendar that human beings used around the world, and on hermeneutics, the tools for understanding the Bible, and on the entire creation evolution debate, and then on personhood, that just as God is a person, he created us in his likeness. And so our teaching on the personhood of the unborn child and how to fight to win the battle to protect unborn children. And that material is at AmericanRightToLife.org and ProLifeProfiles.com, as well as on our own website. And then we have, in our top 12 contributions, by our estimation, of course, if we're wrong on one of these things, then it's not among our top 12 contributions. It would be perhaps one of our top 12 hindrances. Because here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're not like the Vatican. You know, the Vatican claims that when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, when he's speaking in his official capacity as the vicar of Christ on earth, their terminology, then he is inerrant. Well, that's false. The teachings of the popes have always been riddled with error. Some truth, a lot of truth, mixed with a lot of error. And so we know here, of course, it's embarrassing even to say it, but for those who listen to the show, our critics who don't like us, who judge us because they say we're not supposed to judge, we point out, of course, we're not inerrant. Of course, we make mistakes. And one of the first things I would ask God, given the opportunity, if the Lord said I could email him questions and he would respond, I would say, Lord, of all our teachings, which is wrong that causes the most harm? Which? Knowing that we're not inerrant. But of our top 12 contributions, by our estimation, the eighth is how to live the Christian life by grace, living by grace. What does that actually mean? And it's in a study that we do. It's a seminar I've done around the country called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we have our promotion of Dr. Walt Brown's hydroplate theory, the understanding of the mechanics of the global flood, and how we teach, we help to develop the theory, and we promote the hydroplate theory. And then is our teachings on government and God's criminal justice system and the government and the political spectrums, the actual spectrums, not the superficial ones you might hear conservatives or libertarians talking about, and God's principles of governance. And that includes, of course, an understanding of terrorism and the best definition of terrorism and what terrorism is. And then also the Bible's command for Christians to judge and the New Testament support for capital punishment. And on so many of these topics, when people search for these things, they often, regardless of whether they are here in Colorado, our studios are nestled in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. So Google, they customize their search. If you search for pizza, best pizza in town, you're not going to get a pizza joint in Orlando, Florida, if you live in Nashville, Tennessee. Then you're going to get a pizza place in Nashville. So when you search for church, you're going to get local churches, depending on your search terms. And so what we monitor is how are people finding our Christian worldview teachings, regardless of where they live, anywhere in the U.S. and anywhere around the world. We're excited about all that, the accomplishments. In fact, we have a list of those at kgov.com/Google rankings, or just kgov.com/rankings gives an example of the kinds of topics, substantive topics, that people search for. And if you add up all the searches, these are hundreds of thousands of searches per month where people will find us as number one, two, or three on the top of extremely important issues. So that increases our discoverability. So our top 12 contributions include our work on biblical governance and then on morality. And finally, on economics, morality, on marriage, including the government's role in marriage, and by exposing moral relativism and that among our Christian conservative leaders in their official teaching. That's horrifying, but it's ubiquitous. and then also on marijuana, on homosexuality, on public schools, on our promotion of homeschooling, and of course, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then finally on economics, what is money? And then teaching people that welfare is sinful and that it violates thou shalt not steal. It was astounding what Donald Trump said at the United Nations yesterday about Venezuela. Venezuela is collapsing. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, we are one of the media outlets that began focusing early on the collapse of Venezuela and the starvation of their people, and we called for an invasion, a military invasion, a humanitarian military invasion of Venezuela a year ago in September 2016. And only now, for the most part, is the general public becoming aware of the collapse of that entire nation of Venezuela in South America. And so what Donald Trump said yesterday at the United Nations is that Venezuela has collapsed not because they've done a bad job of implementing socialism, but because they actually implemented socialism. The more you implement socialism or communism, the more destruction you bring on your people. And that was a great point. And I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. And I hope he comes to the Lord. I hope he asks God to forgive him of his sin and trust in Jesus Christ. And then I hope he stops funding Planned Parenthood at the same rates that Barack Obama funded them. And I hope he fights to protect the life of every unborn child. So I don't want Donald Trump to sleep well tonight because Christians think, oh, wow, look what a leader he is. He's doing all these good things. No, he's killing innocent children. And that's what matters. When he stands before God and he finds out how many children he himself killed with his own signature by giving hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, then all the Christians who did nothing but praise him and cheer him on, they will be saddened that their guy is being judged by Jesus Christ and sent to hell. They will be saddened. So our 12th contribution, that's economics, and we cover what is money. What is money? That the promotion of welfare is sinful. It violates thou shalt not steal. What is justifiable taxation? How about copyrights? And so on. So those are our contributions. By our estimation, our top 12 contributions by category. And of course, they cover much of the human struggle in human history and how to understand what is right and what is wrong. Whether something is discussed in the day's headlines, on the news, in current events, or whether it's a principle that's being advocated by those in government or those trying to change the law of the land. So as Christians, we need to understand the foundational issues, that help us come to right judgments about all these particulars. Our telethon here every September, our annual September telethon to keep Bob and Yurt Live broadcasting for another year, we're at $9,000. Thank you. Since yesterday, another $1,000 was given. You guys are awesome. I'm going to go back in a few minutes to discussing our store and how people can subscribe. And when you subscribe to one of our videos or our sermons or our Bible studies, you get something every month in the mail. And we take that monthly amount, multiply it by 10. So if it's $25 a month, we apply $250 to the telethon goal. So you could help us get to $10,000 today. If you go online to kgov.com, click on our store and subscribe. Or you can call us 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. And that goal is vitally important for us to reach that so that we can continue, because we don't have a foundation behind us. We don't have a mega church. We have you and the Lord in our skeleton crew here at the Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio studios. So because we've covered these topics and we've provided online so much material to help people understand what the Bible says on these topics, I do feel like we have a bit more leeway to spend time explaining the resources that we sell through our store so that when people purchase them, they help us stay on the air. But before we get to that, we have the rapture coming up in 3 days, September 23rd, right? It's going to be the rapture. There have been a number of Christian leaders who have predicted that this would be the rapture. And as we've predicted, not only recently, but through the last 26 years on the air, typically when the date comes and goes, then they tell us, well, we misunderstood. They weren't predicting the date of the rapture when the Lord would return to the sky and all Christians would be taken up to heaven so that we would bodily be translated to heaven. And they say, well, we weren't talking about the rapture. We were just saying that this would be a sign. Oh, it'd be a sign. Okay, well, then you can never be wrong, right? You can never be wrong because it's a sign of what? Well, it's a sign. So back in 2011, if you recall, an end times teacher known around the world, Harold Camping, he had said that the rapture was going to be May 21st, 2011. So we did a program on the 20th, the day before, titled, In Case the Rapture Doesn't Happen Tomorrow. And we subtitled it, I Wish Tomorrow Would Be the Rapture, says Bob Enyart. And I did. I wish that that program would be our last show here on Earth. But as I predicted, with no risk whatsoever, that Harold Camping, the next day, was going to get a sickening feeling in his gut as the day wore on. So predicting the timing of the rapture or the second coming, it's not a winning proposition. Because for one, the Bible teaches us that the second coming of Christ and everything associated with that is imminent. In other words, that he could return at any time he wants to return. And once we get into the end times portion of history, Jesus said that those days can be shortened. And the Apostle Peter wrote that we can hasten the coming of the Lord. In other words, these things are not settled, but they're open. And the reason they're open is because God is free. And that's one of our top 12 accomplishments by our own estimation, teaching people about the nature of God, not based on Plato and Aristotle and Augustine and Aquinas and Luther and Calvin, not based on their teaching, but based on the scriptures. And there is a huge difference because the Bible teaches that God is free, that he is creative. He will never exhaust his creativity. He is inexhaustibly creative and he is eternally free. And that means that the future cannot be settled, but it's open. And just as we study prophecy through the Bible, we see that even when God makes predictions, and even when he puts no conditions on those predictions, God is alive and free. And he says, if I have prophesied destruction, and then I no longer want to bring destruction, then I will not do that which I said I would do. I will not do that which I thought I would do. Jeremiah 18. Reread the book of Jonah to see that God prophesied 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days. And then we find out that because the people repented, the text says that God repented of what he said he would do, and he was not going to bring the destruction that he said he was going to bring. So God is alive, God is free. And these things, the timing of the end, they are in the Father's purview. It's up to the Father to decide, and he could have decided at any moment from the time of the apostles until this day. The Christians who have taught that Christ's return has always been imminent, In other words, that he could return at any moment. They're the ones who are biblically correct, and the others have been wrong. So what that means is, regardless of what signs you're told are in the constellation of Virgo or in the constellation of Leo, that we're supposed to be in the constellation of Virgo, but regardless of what headlines are published in the newspapers and what we're told of how that relates to Daniel's 10 toes or to an end times peace treaty or to buying and selling without a mark, regardless of all those things, the truth is that the Lord could have come at any time, and therefore there are no signs that indicate when he will return for us. There are no signs. There are no signs, so that all these claims are inherently wrong. So when an end times leader contacted me just a week ago and said, "Bob, I'm getting ready to publish, you know, my interview and my take on this widespread claim that the rapture will be on the 23rd, September 23rd, 2017, and I'd like to ask you about your sense of how I should conclude this, because all I've done so far is presented the arguments. Now, how do you think I conclude this?" And I said, "Well, let's see. I think we should get together to talk. Let me look at my calendar. Pretty busy. Can we get together on the 24th? I'd like to meet you on the 24th. We could talk about the rapture scheduled for the 23rd. So, and that goes back, I remember back in 2011 with Harold Camping predicting the day of the rapture. And he had previously predicted that it would be in 1994. Now, is that something or what? 1994. So 17 years later, he has the guts to make another prediction. But while I wish the rapture were today, I wish the Lord would return today. How wonderful that would be. But at the same time, I thank the Lord for his mercy and long-suffering with mankind, because if the Lord had returned in 1994, we would not have had our children, our youngest children. They wouldn't have the gift of life, of salvation, of eternal life. They wouldn't have even have existed if Jesus had come back for us in 1994. So the more that the Lord tarries, you know, we're so thankful and appreciate his wisdom as being far above our wisdom. But in our selfishness, as the Apostle Paul put it, you know, in our selfishness, we want to go be with the Lord. But on the other hand, the world needs those who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and could be an example of the Lord to others. By the way, of course, there's widespread teaching that the pre-tribulation rapture is not biblical in that it's modern, that it only was introduced in the late 1800s by a guy named John Darby in England. And I was teaching the pre-tribulation rapture, and I heard that. I said, "Who's John Darby? I never heard of the guy. Who's John Darby?" But it's true that he taught a pre-tribulation rapture in the 1800s. And then it's also true that in the 1700s, a graduate of Bristol Baptist College, in fact, he was a Baptist pastor, a prominent historian, religion historian, and a founder of Brown University, one of the Ivy League schools, he wrote back in the 1700s about the pre-tribulation rapture explicitly. We document this on our website, kgov.com/pre-trib. Or pre-trib rapture. And then we go on, just like I do in the plot, an overview of the Bible. In chapter 11 of the plot, I give part of the history of the teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture. And back in the year 1300 in Italy, there was a Christian organization, and in their history of their organization, they present the pre-tribulation rapture. And we take that back, as do scholars to a bishop in Syria in the 300s who explicitly taught a pre-tribulation rapture. And in fact, there's a part of Pilgrim's Progress written by John Bunyan. Remember when he was in jail? And this was the best-selling book next to the Bible for hundreds of years. And there's a part of that book that is especially similar to the rapture, although it is not explicitly identified as a pre-tribulation rapture, but it is astoundingly similar to the teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture. And then I mentioned that Bishop Ephraim of Nisibis back in the 300s AD. And so the claim, just like the claim we addressed on Monday, that marriage is only the domain of the church, that the unbelieving world, the government, whoever, nations, they have nothing to do with it. It's only the church. And how people are so readily convinced of that because they don't know the scriptures. Because marriage predates the church. And in the Old Testament, marriage predates Israel. And those are God's two covenant peoples, Israel and the body of Christ. And marriage predates even the global flood. In fact, marriage goes back to the very beginning of the human race when God instituted marriage between Adam and Eve. And so marriage applies to the whole world. And when people don't know the scriptures, they're then vulnerable to false teaching. And likewise here on the pre-tribulation rapture. And the plot does such a fun job of taking 10 doctrinal disputes and listing the proof text and the problem text for each and explaining why people see problem texts where they should not see problem texts. And we offer in that book, The Plot, one verse that will resolve the doctrinal tension from all these 10 disputes. One verse. And guess what? It's not a verse like, well, just love God and everything's okay. Not at all. It's a very plot-specific passage that helps us understand the overview of the Bible, and the overview of the Bible is the key to its details. So if you can help us go on to hit $10,000, then we'll be a third of the way there toward our goal. We're two-thirds of the way through the month of September, and we're approaching now a third of our goal. Please call us, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or you can go onto our website, kgov.com, click on the store, and in all our departments, we have the government department. That's so fun. We have our science department, apologetics, our Bible tours, morality. But then also in the New Testament and the Old Testament sections, we have our verse-by-verse studies. And they are so absolutely fun. They're entertaining and educational. And they help us to live the kind of life that becomes a light to those around us. One of my favorite studies, the Epistle to the Romans, Paul penned the world's greatest theological treatise. It took me 20 years before I thought I was barely able to begin teaching that book. Hey, may God bless you.